Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio for this Sunday, March the 7th, 2010. I'm your host, founder, and executive director, Rick McCann. It's great to have you with us today. We have an exciting show. I'm just thrilled to be able to bring this to you today. We're going to be talking in our second half hour here about close quarter shootouts and surviving a shooting with a very special guest, a bank security officer from Dallas, Texas, who lived it. He was involved in a close quarter shooting and survived, and we're glad that he'll be with us to discuss what happened. Well, it's almost springtime. The weather here is beautiful. We're broadcasting live from our corporate studios, and as we do every Sunday and Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Central Time, and we're just glad to be with you. If you'd like to email us while we're here on the radio, you can do so at radioprivateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. If you send us an email today while we're on the air, or if you listen on demand and send us an email, we'll send you out a special gift pack that has several different things here I think you'll enjoy. Be sure to include your mailing address. Several of you have emailed us but failed to include where you wanted your gift pack sent to. So please be sure to give us your mailing address, and we'll make sure that gift pack gets out to you. Wow, we've got so much happening this week in the security world. A lot of breaking news to tell you about. We're going to get through some of this quickly so that we can get into our second half hour and talk about surviving close quarter shootouts. In the breaking news, I'm sure that you've heard, two Pentagon police officers were shot. A man approached them through a tunnel going to the Pentagon. He looked, like any other visitor in the D.C. metropolitan area. There are many federal buildings and places that have visitors throughout the day. It's just, part of business, and it's really nothing out of the ordinary. But this gentleman pulled a handgun and shot two of the officers. Now, many news articles listed them as security officers, security guards. They are, from all media reports and news releases that I've seen, they have been identified as Pentagon police officers. Many locations in the metro D.C. area have both private security guards working for contract agencies, as well as many SPOs, special police officers commissioned in the D.C. Metro area, as well as many federal police work in the area. There's a lot of different police and security. So at any rate, these officers survived. They returned fire, a close quarter shooting, which we will be talking about today, and the shooter was killed. Also in the news out of Nashville, Tennessee, a story that we have been following now for almost 2 years. It's a little bit sad to me because it's a training issue, but Jeremy Holmes, a security officer employed by SecurityWise Security in Nashville, Tennessee, has been sentenced to 2 years in prison for a shooting and a killing that he was involved in May the 8th in Nashville, Tennessee, where he was working at a nightclub slash eatery slash bar. He tried to stop a DUI suspect who had been involved in a confrontation earlier. The man got into his vehicle, and Jeremy stood behind the vehicle to prevent him from leaving. The man started the car and put it into reverse. The security officer opened fire through the rear window and killed the driver. This is a training issue because I believe from all accounts and speaking to several people close to the case that he had an opportunity to exit from behind the vehicle, but he chose to open fire. So he pled guilty to manslaughter and will be serving a 2-year sentence and then a substantial probation and parole. And he has lost his handgun rights. He will no longer ever be able to be in the security field again. Again, it's a training issue. Another hot item that just came across the wires overnight, which is very disgusting, very sick, very sad if it is true, in Boise, Idaho, a Boise police veteran of 32 years on the police force, Stephen R. Young, has been arrested for having sex with infants. Not one, not two, but police say 5 cases of sexual contact with friends and families' children. How he got to be in contact with those infants, we do not know yet. But if this is a true, if this is more than an allegation, if this is a true fact, for a veteran law enforcement officer, this is a very sad day, and we'll have to watch to see how this case plays out. Baltimore, Maryland, Rick Britton was sentenced to 15 years in prison for aggravated assault for shooting at a security officer while working at an apartment complex in Columbia, Maryland last year. According to the news release, Rick Britton was involved in a confrontation. The security officer came to the apartment to break it up, and in turn, he had to run for his life because the unarmed security officer was being chased by this character, and he fired off at least 4 rounds. And thankfully, through the court system, this character has been found guilty and sent to prison for 15 years. That's kind of where he belongs. A story out of New York City, which is almost laughable, really. 2 New York police officers, 2 NYPD officers, have been arrested in Newark, New Jersey, for robbing, with a few other people, a warehouse. $1 million was stolen. Not $1 million in cash, not $1 million in gold, not $1 million in jewelry. But get this, they went in, guns drawn, and robbed a warehouse of $1 million in perfume. I never knew that perfume was so valuable, but evidently in Newark, New Jersey, in the New York metropolitan area, it is. And they robbed a warehouse of $1 million in perfume, and they and several other cohorts have been arrested. Very unusual case. Long Beach, California, on the other side of the coast, a security officer working at a bank on Saturday at the Farmers and Merchants Bank was able to stop a bank robbery in progress. A suspect, who is believed to be a serial bank robber, was captured by the bank security officer, who tackled him and, along with several customers, was able to handcuff him. So kudos to him. We'll be sending him a award, and we've already made notification to his employer. So that's great work on this security officer. We don't have his name yet, but that was just a great job. Also in the news, something that really is kind of irking me, it seems more and more rappers, both those who are well-known and those who are wannabes, have bodyguards and people that they call security personnel working with them. It seems that over the weekend in Gary, Indiana, a independent rap concert, there was more than music going on. 8 people were shot, a security officer involved. There's no word as to what happened exactly. But the next day in Atlanta, Georgia, a rivalry rapper of this concert team that was up there was involved in another shooting where their security person shot someone in a store. I don't know if these people really are security people, bodyguards. I don't know if they are state certified, but I really don't like the fact that they are using the terminology that they're security, because it really gives the security industry a bad name. From everything that I've seen and everything that I've heard, these are really just thugs and people who wannabes, rappers, and wannabe security people. And so it irks me. Well, that's what's going on today in the news world. If you want to know more about security police news, we update the news blog every day. Locally in the U.S., you can read the security news, security police news, at privateofficernews@wordpress.com. And if you are keeping up tabs on the news around the world in the security industry, you can go to securityworldnews@wordpress.com. In the email bag, very quickly, we had a number of emails. Tad from Nashville says he works at a hospital. He is a security officer. He just found out about the private officer website. Very interested in the chapter that is about to open in Nashville, and we hope that you do become involved, Tad. I'm not going to mention the hospital that he works at, but I believe that there's a church by the same name, or a church organization, I should say, by the same name. San Antonio Emmanuel, he wrote in thanking us for everything that we do, and excited about all of the happenings here at Private Officer. And yes, Emmanuel, there is a lot going on and a lot more to come. A friend of ours wrote in and told us a funny, unique story that happened to him on Friday in Blackpool, England. Our regional director of Private Officer International, he was a retired law enforcement officer from California who moved back to England a number of years ago, owns, he and his wife Leslie, the Northwest Patrol Agency in Blackpool, England. I hope one day to be able to go over and take a spin around with him on his patrol duties. Frank Turvey said that he was stopping, of all places, into a 7-Eleven store. Now, Frank, where I live around here, we don't have any close by. Growing up and through my law enforcement days, 7-Eleven is where I would go at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning for a couple of hot dogs loaded with fattening cheese and chili, and that got me through the night. Now, where I live, all that we have are Crystals and White House or White Castles, which are greasy burgers or sliders, as they're commonly called. So I envy you that there's a 7-Eleven. Oh, thank heaven for 7-Eleven. In any case, what Frank was telling us was that he had just gotten off duty working the overnight. He stopped at the 7-Eleven to pick up some milk. In front of him, the old chap, he didn't notice what was going on. But the old chap in front of him turned slightly and noticed Frank, who was still in uniform, having just gotten off duty. The blood rushed to this chap's face and head. He spun around, and Frank noticed in his hand a gun. Well, in England, security personnel, like most police, are not armed. They don't carry handguns. Luckily for Frank, this person was only carrying a play gun or a toy gun, a replica. And from what I understand, what I've been told, the gentleman said, "This is just a toy gun. I give up." A robbery in progress was taking place, albeit with a fake gun, and Frank was able to handcuff this suspect and take him into custody and notify the police, the constables in Blackpool. So good arrest, Frank Turvey, and we'll be taking care of you in the recognition shortly. But these things do happen when you're in uniform. We have a whole course about how to handle situations off duty that you should take, because these things can and do happen even if you don't put yourself in the middle of a situation. You can easily walk into one. You can easily walk up to one. And in this case, everything went right. The gun was a replica. Officer Turvey was able to take the suspect into custody, and one bad guy is off the street. I guess the good ending to the story, besides all of that, no injuries and so forth, was Frank got some free milk. I personally would have went for a little bit more than that, but milk is good. So that was a very interesting story. You never know what's going to happen to you on duty or off duty. A programming note: in our upcoming shows this Wednesday at 4 p.m., if you work in the nightclub industry, if you are a bouncer, if you work in club security, you will not want to miss this show, 4 p.m. Eastern Time Wednesday. We will be talking to Phil Prater. He is an alcohol beverage control agent for the state of Alabama. Phil Prater will be here to discuss the problems that continue to escalate in the nightclub industry. He'll also be talking directly about how security officers are becoming part of the problem in some cases, the bouncers and the security personnel, and also about how we can do a better job providing security for the nightclub industry. So if you work that, or if you're thinking about getting into the nightclub security bouncer type business, you won't want to miss that show. Sunday, March the 14th, 1 week from today, another great show coming up, Use of Force and Liability. You don't want to miss this show. If you carry a gun, if you carry a nightstick, if you carry pepper spray, if you carry impact weapons, taser, or a handgun, you don't want to miss this show, because we're going to discuss every aspect of the use of force, every level of force that is can be used, and the liability, the consequences. If you have an idea for a show, send us an email at radio@privateofficer.com, and we'll be glad to look into that. We'll also be doing some shows in the future about retail loss prevention security, housing Section 8, tax-deferred type properties, and also hospital security. So you won't want to miss that. Okay, we want to get right into some training for you. Now, normally when I do training, it's an expensive venture for whoever I'm providing security training for. Today, you're going to get it free. So I hope that you'll put it to your benefit, and that this information will help you if you ever get involved in a close quarter shooting. Most people think that police and security are involved in shootings that happen 15, 20, 30 feet away. That's not true. Most police officers and security are involved in shootouts between 3 and 8 feet. 3 and 8 feet. Most times, shootings occur at a split second. Things turn hanky, things turn sideways very quickly, and they go from bad to worse, and all of a sudden you're involved in a close quarter shooting. Here are 9 quick keys to survival. We don't have the time to go through every aspect of tactical shooting. We don't have the time to go through every aspect of every one of these keys, but I'm going to give you the basics. I'm going to give you the beginning. You can do the research for the follow-up. The number one key, this is the most important, is to train. You must train. If you are an armed security officer, law enforcement officer, you must go above and beyond what your agency or company requires. I hear so many times people saying, we go to the range once a year. We go when qualified twice a year. We shoot 75 feet. We do 25 yards. We do weak hand, strong hand, one position, and that's it. Well, that's not really how you should train. First of all, you should be on the range between 4 and 6 times a year, minimal. And really, you need to go at least once a month. It's important. You need to continuously train. You need to know your weapon. You need to practice when you're not on the range, loading and unloading your weapon, whether you're carrying probably a semi-automatic or a revolver. How is the quickest way for you to reload it in a shooting event? You need to practice. Also, one of the things that people don't realize, you need to practice by using a ball or a hand squeezing device and get the strength into your fingers and your hand. The dexterity is very important when you're loading and unloading a weapon. The second key to surviving a shooting incident, a close quarter shooting incident, is the mindset. Before anything happens, before anything begins, you need to continuously play scenarios in your mind. You need to figure out, what would you do in this situation if that situation happens? What would you do in this event? What would you do in that event? Whenever you're working at various posts and assignments, as soon as you get in, you should be taking note of the layout. You should be taking note of escape routes. You should be taking note, well, if they come in this way, what would I do? How would I handle it? Number three, you need to be alert at all times. You should always be on high alert. Your awareness to your surroundings is essential. You must become a professional observer. Always be looking at people's hands and eyes. Always read the body language. People will let you know if you are paying attention in advance if they're going to attack. In most cases, you'll be able to read it in their body language. You'll be able to know if they're armed by looking at what they're wearing and the season that we're in. You'll be able to know how they move about. Do they fit in with others around them? Do they fit in with the surrounding? You need to become a professional observer, watching their eyes and hands and reading their body language. It's going to help you to be able to have a tactical advantage, and that's number four, tactical advantage. How do you get tactical advantage? Well, it depends on your situation, but tactical advantage comes from having the awareness, having the pre-planning, having the advantage over the attacker, over the shooter, by being ready for all possibilities. Number five, cover. When an incident happens, it's too late. When a threat comes to you, it's too late to begin looking for cover. As you are getting into a new assignment, a new location, you should always be looking for cover. If a shooting was to happen, where would I go for cover? Behind a desk, behind a door, behind a sofa, behind an appliance? Where is the best place for cover? Identify cover and keep it in mind. And if you are working a lot of different posts, you should do that automatically as you arrive, as you begin to make your rounds on the post. Identify those things. Identify them, because you never know what's going to happen. You need to always, always be prepared, and that's all about tactical advantage. Number six, you need to watch for crossfire. If there's more than one armed person, more than one armed security or law enforcement officers with you, you need to have tactical position and always be mindful of crossfire. If the suspect is in the middle of you and there are two of you, one on each end, you're going to be in the crossfire. So you need to position yourself tactically so that you are not in the line of fire of your coworker, your cohort. You need to be mindful of crossfire when there's more than one person involved. Number seven, breathing. You must control your breathing. When the adrenaline's pumping, when everything is happening in front of you, you have to learn to relax your inspiration and to be able to breathe, relax, almost like a woman in childbirth. You must be able to expel and not hyperventilate. These are things that you have to do tactfully. You have to be able to do them automatically without thinking. And you do this by preparing yourself in advance. When you're in the middle of the shooting, when you're in the middle of the event, it's too late. So breathing is very important. You can learn more about breathing online at various training sites. Number eight, you have to fight through the pain. What does that mean? In your mind, you have to prepare that you might get shot in this event. You might get shot in this incident. But hopefully, it won't be a fatal shooting. And you have to put yourself in the mindset that you're going to fight through the pain. Okay, I know it's going to hurt. I know if he shoots me and I don't have a vest, or he shoots me in a place where my vest doesn't cover, it's going to hurt. It's going to bleed. There's a burning sensation, but I'm going to fight through the pain. I've got to overcome this. And you've got to put this in your mind to win the fight, because if you don't, you're not going home that day. And number nine, and this is a very important key to close quarter shooting or any shooting or any major incident, you must debrief. You must debrief. You must talk about it. Right now, we're going to go online. Matt, are you online with us today? Well, we thought that was our friend calling in, but evidently not. But you must debrief any incident. You must be able to talk about it. And you must be able to seek professional help if you need it. There's no glory in going about this on your own. You must be able to talk this through. And especially if you're involved in a shooting incident, especially if you're involved in a situation that was stressful, it's important that you get some professional assistance. This is Private Officer Talk Radio. You're on there.
Hello, Rick.
Yes, sir.
Frank Turvey from Brockville.
Oh, my goodness. Frank, how are you doing today, sir?
I just got off work, actually. I've got six other officers sitting here listening to your radio program on the computer, and we're not going to miss a day.
Well, that's fantastic. For those of you who are listening, that's Frank Turvey, our director there in England, and we're glad that you're calling in. I was just telling the folks a few minutes ago about your 7-Eleven incident.
Oh, that. Well, I did get a free bottle of milk out of it.
I was saying back in my law enforcement days, 7-Eleven is where I would stop in the overnight hours for my hot dog with chili and cheese. But they don't have those where I live anymore. So
no, well, we don't have them here either, unfortunately. But, Rick, I just wanted to tell you that you're doing a good job, mate, and we certainly appreciate it in the UK.
Thank you, and we're going to be in touch with you soon, and we're glad that that incident worked out for you and that you're okay and the bad guy went to jail.
Yeah, he did go to jail, and I'm expecting a letter from the chief constable sometime this week, actually. I'll email you a copy of it. Also, give our regards to Kyle.
I will.
Yeah, will you do that for us?
I will. Thank you for calling in, and we'll be talking to you again soon.
Thank you, Rick. Talk to you later, mate.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was our friend there from the UK calling in. It's about 9:30 his time. So he's getting ready to go out on patrol, like I was said earlier. He owns a security agency. He's a retired law enforcement veteran, so it was good to hear from him. We are waiting for our guest to call. He worked an overnight shift, I understand, so hopefully he'll be calling in within the next few minutes. But again, the nine keys to surviving close quarter shooting training is the key element. You must train, and you must be faithful in your training. A lot of people think, oh, I'm just a guard. Oh, nothing's ever going to happen to me on my location. Nothing's ever going to happen to where I'm at. I don't have to worry about it. You know, I'll go to the range once a year because I have to. The job requires it. But that's not how it is. Things can happen, and they do happen. You're on there at Private Officer. How are you doing today?
Hey, Rick's Matt out. How you doing?
Good, good. Is this Matt?
Yes, sir.
Are you awake, Matt?
Yes, sir.
This is my friend down in Dallas, Texas. Matt is on the air today. We're talking about the 9 keys to survival in close quarter shooting. And I don't want to go through a whole lot of details about your incident because of privacy issues. But Matt, if you would, I'd like to kind of talk to you about what happened that day.
Sure.
Okay. Now, my understanding is that you were an armed security officer at a bank in Dallas, and you got involved in a shootout. Now, tell me kind of how that happened. Where were you in the bank, and how did you first become aware of this gentleman and so forth?
Well, what happened was I had just walked into the break room because of the weather. It was about 20 degrees with about a 30-mile-an-hour wind, a bunch of snow, sleet mix. And I just walked into the break room, tried to warm up a bit, and I was in there for approximately a minute when the manager came running in. She was all distraught, crying, saying that we had just been robbed. So I stepped out into the lobby. I went to go secure the front doors, and then that's when I was walking out of the lobby, that's when I seen an individual and two employees go out the front door. So when I outside the front door, the employee turned around and told me, no, the guy's behind you. So I'm thinking he's immediately a couple feet behind me. So I spin around, and just as I turn around, I'm going back into the door, make eye contact with the suspect behind the teller counter about 15 feet away.
Was he holding a weapon at you at that time, or were you aware that he was armed? Or
no, sir. No, he just looked up at me and then took off running. So I knew I had to get away from that front door because from every point in that branch, that's where the cone of fire came together. So I knew that's not where I wanted to be standing, especially with the street. I got a school on one side of me. I got the VA on the other side, a bunch of elderly people coming and going. So having rounds going across the bus stop and the train stop and all that. So I knew I had to get away from that door. So when I went running, I went into my left around the front door, and then that's when the pistol came up, and he just started firing.
Had you already had your weapon in hand, or was it still holstered?
The weapon was in my hand from the time I was notified.
Okay. And so at that point, when he began firing, were you able to seek cover, or how far away would you say you were from the suspect?
At the time he started firing, I'd say I was probably about 10 to 15 feet.
Okay. And were you able to seek cover, or were you standing out there pretty much toe-to-toe with this guy?
Well, I was approaching the teller line, so it's an open area.
Right.
So there really wasn't nothing.
There was nothing for you to really seek cover with, huh?
No, sir.
So pretty much you were exchanging gunshots back and forth, and tell me what happened. What was the outcome?
The first round, I heard go right past me, and then that's what I got to get behind something. So I had two options. To my right was a big solid oak steel desk, and then to the left was a glass window, basically a glass wall between the two desks. So I went to the left so I could still see the individual, and I could see the rounds coming through the glass. And it was kind of funny the way the mind works, because I could hear the glass shards hitting each other, but I'd never heard the window shatter.
Right.
So Just as I got the two rounds came through the glass, I went back to my rack, and that's when I actually got hit.
And where were you hit? Where were you hit, Matt?
I was hit approximately half an inch above my my belt, right over the left kidney.
That's were you wearing the
first one? Yes, sir, I was.
What kind of weapon were you using that day?
That day I was carrying a Ruger P95.
Okay. And tell us kind of what happened with the suspect.
The suspect jumped on the counter, was coming down on top of me approximately, I guess, about 4 feet away at that point. And then as he was coming over, I fired two rounds, striking the suspect. He went back down over the counter. I got up, hit the hold-up button, and then called 911 and was feeding intel to the dispatchers.
And that was a fatal shooting, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
Well, we're glad. I'm really glad that you're on the phone with us today. Had you ever thought that that scenario would ever play out? Had you ever done scenario playouts in your mind as to what you would do if someone came in? Because, as you know, Dallas is one of the hot spots for bank robberies in the country. Were you aware of that information before all this went down?
Oh, yes, sir. We had several professional teams working, you know, 3 to 5 guys coming in at a time with assault weapons and shotguns. So I knew that door was the wrong place to be because every point in that bank crossed right there. That's where everything came together.
How many rounds did you fire that day? Do you remember?
No, sir, not right off. They were telling me it was like 3 rounds, but I figured it was probably closer to 6.
And how many rounds did he fire? Do you know?
No, sir, I don't.
Okay. You know, the interesting point about this, Matt, that I didn't realize until you just told me, was that this shooter brought the fight, continued to bring the fight to you. He didn't escape. He didn't run out. He didn't flee. But instead, he continued to advance on you, shooting, jumping up on the desk. So his intent was clear. He was going to kill you. Instead of just running away, instead of just getting the heck out of there, he had already decided in his mind that he wasn't leaving until you were down.
If you watch the video, the suspect actually set his weapon down at the first teller station. And he was at like the second or the third one by this point. And then when he made eye contact with me, he ran, picked his gun up, and opened up on me.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he was, his intent was to leave you DOA and get the heck out of there.
And that's why he was coming back over the counter when I got hit. He was coming to finish it.
Matt, during this time, and I know you probably have had time to debrief and go through this. Tell us a little bit about your mindset. Were you thinking that you might get hit? And when you did get hit, were you thinking, I'm just going to give up, I'm just going to lay down, I'm just going to die? Or did you decide that you were going to fight through the pain, which is one of the keys to survival, and that you were going home that day?
No, at that point, the only thing on my mind was ending it. I knew that I got hit, and anybody that's going to hit me, I'm going to hit back. That's
right.
Just, you know, in that environment, we're not expected to walk out, and the industry's not prepared for that.
Right. Did you have professional, and you don't have to answer this because I don't want to get personal with you because we haven't really spoke about this, but did you have professional debriefing, counseling after the shooting? Did you seek out assistance?
Yes, sir, I did. I wound up having to do 2 MMPIs, and then also I got some counseling from a couple of different resources.
Okay. That's one of the important keys to surviving the shooting is the aftermath debriefing and counseling. It's very, very important. Unfortunately, it's not done enough. Not even in law enforcement, but I'm glad that you did seek that out. The other side of this story, I don't know if you really want to get into this, but if you don't, please tell me, is that the person involved was either a gang member or belonged to a gang family, and they wanted to retaliate against you. Is that right?
No, that's correct.
So really, after this heroic incident, after Matt was involved in the shootout, and after all of this was said and done, it really wasn't over. And you had some threats on your life and so forth. Is that what happened?
Yes, sir. I had approximately 7 that was verified.
So these are situations that can come up after the shootout is over. The aftermath, when you think everything is done with, depending on who you have killed, you know, other things can happen to you. Well, has this kind of quieted down now? It's been quite a while since this incident happened. Is everything kind of back to normal for you, Matt?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, it's all pretty much over with for the most part. But still don't know who's out there. And really just, you know, knowing who you are is the biggest thing.
Right.
And
now, did you, before all of this took place, you had an idea that, you know, there was a possibility that a robbery could take place. Had you, in your past experience, had you ever been involved in another shooting?
Yes, I have, but not to where it was that extent.
Dallas metro area is a high-intensive crime and drug-driven area. It's a great area, but if you are working private security, you're in as much potential harm as any law enforcement officer, and you really have to be prepared for what's going to happen. And it sounds like you were prepared. Had you been going to the range frequently and practicing, and tell me a little bit about what you've done to prepare for your line of work, because you're still working armed security, aren't you?
Yes, sir, I am. Usually with my my drills, one of the things that I like to do is I'll take plates up, just regular paper plates, and I'll put numbers on them. I'll put anywhere from 3 to 5 to the left and then 3 to 5 to the right, and I'll get in the center of the room, and then I'll aim at each plate, and
mm-hmm.
then do your dry fire at each plate.
Exactly.
And then you can change it up and move it around, and then you move like a tank turret. That
mm-hmm.
way you can engage multiple targets and gives you scanning, you know, that kind of training. And then that was one of the things I like to do. Another one I do is I go to the range. I was trying to about every quarter at least.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to pay for it myself. There's nothing that's required for the job. It's just
right.
Yes, sir. Me personally, I try to invest in myself and my training, because when it comes down to it, that's all you have.
Exactly.
When you get to that point, that is the only thing that you have, is what you take with you.
And well, Matt, I really appreciate you being on the air with us today. I know that you worked a late night shift and you got up special to be talking to us today. I'm really happy that this all turned out well for you. Glad that you made it out. And it sounds to me like you've got your mindset and your head in the right place as far as your job and your tactical awareness. And we're going to be talking to you more, because we're opening a chapter there in Dallas. We'll be talking to you more personally off the air. But I'll let you go back to sleep, and I appreciate you calling in.
Thank you so much for everything you're doing. I'd just like to remind everybody out there, if you're not a member, to join. I mean, you just don't understand what's going on here. To have the kind of support that y'all offer. And, I mean, for me personally, y'all came to me.
Yeah.
Y'all actually helped me out. It was you and your staff. And I'm truly grateful for that.
Well, Matt, I wish that we could do more for you, and we are always looking at what's going on in the security industry. We help a lot of different people out. I don't think people realize the extent and expenses, but that's what we're here for. And I personally will be calling you shortly within the next week or a few weeks and talking to you about the chapter in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Okay. I look forward to speaking with you again.
Stay safe, buddy, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. That was Matt from Dallas, Texas. As you heard, while working at a bank about a year and a half ago, he was involved in a close quarter shootout. The shooter, the bank robber, didn't run away. He didn't turn tail. He didn't decide, oh, this is too hot for me. This is not what I was expecting. I thought the bank was unguarded. He didn't do that. He decided to stay, and he brought the fight to the security officer, and he continued to fire and advance. If you are working security, if you are an armed security officer, I'm telling you now not to let your guard down. I'm telling you now. I'm giving you a word of caution from somebody who's been in this business for many years. That you need to understand that it's not just a plain, simple old job, whether you're working part-time at $8 an hour or full-time at $10. It doesn't matter. If you are carrying a weapon, if you are working in the armed post, you have to have the 9 keys for survival. Training, 4 to 6 times on the range at least, continual dry fire training, and knowledge of your weapon. You must have the mindset. You must have the mindset. You must know what you're going to do and how you're going to do it beforehand. You must be alert, ready, aware of your surroundings. You must become a professional observer, observing the eyes and hands, the body language, because they will tell you in advance. You must, in order to have the tactical advantage, you must seek out cover in advance of anything happening. Know your surroundings. Be aware of crossfire if there are more than one security or law enforcement officer on hand. You must participate and practice breathing. Regulate your inhales and your exhales. You must fight through the pain. It's important. Think about this. Think in your head right now. I've been shot. What am I going to do? Am I going to lay here and play dead? Or am I going to go home today? You must realize that it's going to be painful. It's going to burn if you're stabbed or shot. But you need to have the mindset that you're going to fight through it. And the most important thing here, one of the most important things, is what you do after a stressful incident or a shooting incident. You must debrief. You must seek professional counseling. Your company probably won't offer it. You're going to have to go out and seek it on your own. There are many agencies out there who will be willing to help you, and it's not about money. Do it. It's about, saving your mind. It's important that you listen to these 9 keys and that you are ready, willing, and able when the fight comes to you. You see, in the tactical world, this is how it works. You avoid. These are the 3 things that you do. You avoid being in the situation. If you can, you avoid it. You evade it. You try to talk them down. You try to de-escalate. You try to do everything possible to avoid a shooting situation. But when all else fails, you must be ready to counter the threat. You must be ready to counter the threat, or you will not go home that day. I hope that you have listened. I hope that you have taken some notes about the 9 keys to survival, because it's very important if you are an armed security person. Very quickly, if you want to follow us on the internet, you can do so. You can go to Facebook at privateofficer.com. You can also go to our own social website. We have our own forum at privateofficer.ning.com. You can follow us on Twitter. You can tweet us, or whatever they do, Twitter at Private Officer. You can email us at any time, general questions, comments, or have specific needs at adminassist@privateofficer, A-D-M-I-N-A-S-S-I-S-T, at Private Officer. And we're always, somebody is always monitoring the email. We're always up and around 23 and a half hours a day. We do have to have a little rest. And we will respond to your email quickly. In fact, we get comments all the time. I'm surprised for the rapid response. I'm surprised that someone was up at this hour. But we are always monitoring our email. We have friends, associates, and members all around the world in many countries, and so they have various time differences, and they're always up when we're asleep and asleep when we're awake, and so somebody's always monitoring our emails because of that. There are a lot of things going on at Private Officer, like Matt said, and we appreciate his comment. We are the only organization, the only security agency in the world, and we know this for a fact because we've had many emails telling us that is doing anything similar to what we are doing. We're the only security organization that offers all the benefits that we offer. If you're interested in knowing more about membership, go to our website, privateofficer.com. And click on the International Security Association page of the website, and you can see all of the fantastic things that we offer for such a small fee. We are your support. We are there to help you in training. We are there to help you if you get injured. And we are there to support you. And there's no other organization. There are other security organizations and associations, but none doing what we're doing. Talking about support, I'd like to mention to you again about the Memorial Benevolent Services that we offer. We've got about 6 minutes left of the show, and I'm going to go over a couple of things for you. Every year, more than 30,000 security officers are injured in the line of duty. Some of them are only scratches, but more than 15,000 are serious injuries. If you're a security officer injured in the line of duty, we have a memorial benevolent service to help you. All you have to do is contact us, or sometimes we'll contact you if we are aware of this situation. If you would like to donate to the memorial benevolent services for injured or for officers who have been killed in the line of duty, you can do so by going to our website, Private Officer, and click on the Memorial Fund. We are a nonprofit organization, so please donate whatever you can so that we can help the officers who are injured or killed. One of the exciting things that we're doing that you may or may not have heard about, we are in the midst of preparing a memorial wall. We are doing drawings and plans. It will probably be in the Metro Atlanta, Georgia, USA area, our corporate office location. And we're going to have a memorial for security personnel killed in the line of duty. This is a extremely important thing. It is extremely important that we complete this. And so I am working on it diligently. Again, it won't happen unless you help us. It does not matter how much, but you can donate your time, your services, or your funds. If you've just hit the lottery and you feel like you want to share, please go to our website and you can donate there. We're excited about this, and it's something that we're going to see completed one way or the other. The other thing that we have initiated, we are in the midst of starting a Hall of Fame, Security Officer Hall of Fame, for officers like Matt, who clearly deserve the recognition. And there are other officers who will be inducted every year into the Hall of Fame, no different than the Baseball Hall of Fame or the Country Music Hall of Fame. We are in the midst of doing this. It will initially become a virtual Hall of Fame on our website. There will be an area within the next month or so online to recognize those officers inducted. But we will make it a reality along with our memorial wall, and we hope to be able to expedite doing that. And we need your help. We do. We need your help, whether it be your services. Maybe you're an architect. Maybe you've been involved in other memorial planning or your funding. If you want to donate your time, your finances, we need that participation to make this a reality. We're here not for us. We're here for you. And so we're asking that you become involved as a member, whether you're in Ireland, Africa, the UK, Canada, Brazil, it doesn't matter. We are an international association, and we're going to do the same things for you as we are for our members in the U.S. of A. So please join today. Go to privateofficer.com and become a member. If at any time you would like to reach me, you can do so by emailing Rick M, R-I-C-K-M, at privateofficer.com. I respond back quickly to my emails, and I'd love to hear from you. If you have any ideas, comments, suggestions, or you won the lottery, or you are automatically independently wealthy and you'd like to help me, please email me, and I will call you back. Our show is almost over for today. We've got a couple of minutes left, but I hope that you receive some information on this close quarter shooting training today, the 9 keys to survival. We have 40 online individual courses that we offer. You can go to our website, Training Division. We have 8 or 10 certifications now that is offered and recognized by several states and companies. Become certified in your area of expertise. It's important not only for promotional reasons, but also for your day-to-day survival and your day-to-day duties and techniques. It's important to become certified as a private officer, as a security officer, as a loss prevention agent, as a campus officer. Well, that's almost all of our show today. Again, we're on the air every Sunday and Wednesday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Central Time, and all the other various times around the world. If you are busy and you happen to miss the show, we're also on demand. All you have to do is go to our website, click on the radio page, and we're there 24/7 waiting for you. Next week, on Wednesday, our show will be about nightclub security, bouncer and security officer training, and what's going on in the nightclubs. On Sunday, March the 14th, our show will be about use of force, the levels of force and liability, the consequences that you will have to suffer if you use them improperly. We'll also be talking later in the next few weeks and coming months about retail loss prevention security, housing security, hospital security, and so much more. We're glad that you joined us today on the Private Officer Talk Radio Network, and we're glad to be here after a long absence. We're glad to be back on the air with you, and not only locally here in the U.S., but we're around the world now thanks to the Internet. We're glad that you've joined us. We're glad that you've become a member. We're glad that we're part of a team, part of a family. Be with us again on Wednesday at 4 p.m. and Sunday at 4 p.m. For now, we hope that you enjoyed the show. We hope that you will be safe in all that you do. Be blessed this week, and every week. And if we can ever do anything for you, if we can ever help you, be sure to contact our office. This is Rick McCann, founder and executive director of Private Officer International. Have a great week. God bless. We will see you again on the radio.